Well, brother, and I want to start off with another little story, as it were. It's not a story so much. It's a movie that they made, I don't know how long back. It was probably a Hallmark series, but it was The Courageous Heart of Irina Sendler. Courageous Heart. And that struck a bell with me, and the movie certainly brought it out. Very much. Now this is a movie about the heart of the Holocaust there in Europe during World War II. And this was set in Poland, in Warsaw, and a lot of it, of course, right there in the Warsaw ghetto. And the movie actually was very difficult to watch. And yet, in many ways, I think we in the church, especially at this present time, it's good to watch something like that and realize what we might have to face. Now, we don't know individually, personally, what we personally will have to go through. God knows, but we do not. But we need to be prepared, and God, of course, is certainly. He is certainly pointed that out to us in so many ways in Scripture. And the Warsaw Ghetto, if you've ever watched any documentary in the past, it was absolutely beyond what we can understand. It was so bad. But this woman, Irina, she was a young woman, a Polish woman, not called by God, of course. She was just another woman there in Poland. But she was a social worker, so she had access to the ghetto. The ghetto was off limits to everyone, and they kept the Jews trapped in there. But she could go and come through the gate. She had the papers. And she began to notice these little children that were sitting, you know, in despicable conditions on the street, huddled in corners, under boxes or whatever. And her heart went out to this one little girl. And so she made friends with her and began to communicate with her. And she decided in her own heart that she needed to help that girl. So she went to great length to get this set up to where she was finally able to help her. And the only way she could help her was to ferret her out of there, out of the ghetto. And she had to do that, you know, secretly. And she got some help in that. She got some others that when she told them what she wanted to do, they agreed to help. And so she finally got her out and got her placed with a Catholic family because, you know, they were still letting them go ahead and, you know, have their church and religion to some degree. They did a lot of things, tried to teach her some of the things that non-Jewish. I mean, these little children, they're raised as Jews. And so it took a while, but finally they got her safely with another family so that she wouldn't be discovered and taken with the rest of the Jews a little by little in the cattle cars. And you know what they did to them after that, at the end of the line. Well, anyway, she says every day she'd go into the ghetto and she saw more and more children in the same condition. And so it became her mission, her absolute mission, to try to save these children. And so she got more people to help her, and they recruited more families that said they would risk their lives by taking them. If they were discovered, then they too were in deep, deep trouble. Okay? But every day, as she'd walk through the streets, and the soldiers, they're always there, they're all around. They're all carrying rifles. They have bayonets on the end and so on. And we can't imagine coming out of our door to go wherever, to get to a grocery store, to go to work, and they still were letting them work because they wanted them to do work for the Nazis. Well, we can't imagine that, but there you are. You know that if you make one mistake and they get their eye on you, there you go. You have the same end as the Jews came to. So she was risking her life every day. But she went on and she did it until she rescued, with the others helping her, rescued 2,500 little children and got them in other families. 2,500 children. Well, eventually she was found out, and I forget exactly how she was found out. But the Gestapo came, and the Gestapo is like meeting Satan face to face. And so they got her in there, and they were trying to get the information from her as to where all of these children had gone, because somehow they realized what she had done. And so they tortured her for several months, but she absolutely would not let them tell them anything. So finally, they were going to take her on one of the trains to the end in those camps. And she was able to escape. I forget exactly how she did that. But she was able to, somebody helped her, and she was able to escape. And she actually lived until this century. She died after the turn of this century. I forget, about 2006 or 7. And at 98 years old. But that woman showed incredible courage and incredible commitment. And here she was. She was just another woman. She could have gone about her way trying to make sure that she did not get in trouble and that she could survive. Now, if we find ourselves in that condition, or if we find ourselves in that condition in what's coming down upon all of the nations of Israel, look at it. Australia, Canada, look what's going on. America, and in Europe, look what's going on. Well, we don't know. But she said, no, I have to help these children. So she was thinking outside of herself. And that, brethren, is what God tells us, isn't it? How we must help our brethren. How we must love our brethren. And when he says that, he just says it. We must love our brethren. But when you dig deeper into that, what is that saying? You have to be willing to give of yourself if you're truly loving. Because what do you say? You know, I want you to love your brethren as I have loved you. Isn't that what Christ told us? Well, that, you see, puts much more depth and meaning of loving your brother very much. Well, I want to move on here. If you're really going to help someone and you're really committed to God, to where you are willing to let God's will become your will, and whatever he decides, that's okay with you and with me. And that's what it's got to be. But when you do that, what can that bring? It can bring great peace. You know? I was thinking after the movie, you know, what I saw that night, last Saturday night, in that movie, it's all going to happen again. Only this time, God says it's going to be much worse. It's going to be worse than it ever has been. Well, yes. But, you know, I got to thinking on beyond that. I thought, well, But you know, that's not the rest of the story. There is good news, because God has something else. And there will become what? There will become peace. And this time it won't be a temporary peace. Now, yes, much to happen before then. But that good news is coming. Well, who is the author of peace? In Isaiah chapter 9. You know, I want to read one verse here. Well, two. And you're very familiar with these two verses. People love to sing them because they are exactly what Christ is. So, Isaiah 9, in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." And we can look forward to that, and we know absolutely that that's going to be. And we understand that because God has opened our mind, and we understand it so much deeper than all of those people that sing that song. Yes, it's a beautiful in song. It really is. But they don't understand the full depth. And we have been blessed to understand it. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God's peace is going to be a real peace, and it's going to be a lasting peace. And we have that to look forward to. And I want to turn over a little bit to chapter 26. It's just a few pages here. In chapter 26, I want to read this one verse, and I'm going to read it in the first person present tense, okay? I think it means more that way. Verse 3, God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Why? Because we trust in him. That's right. We trust God's will to be done, not only for everyone, at which it will be one day, but we trust his will to be done for us. And that does give us peace, even now, in the face of what we see coming down, and understanding what will come beyond today or tomorrow, we can have peace now. Why? Again, because the Father had the mercy and the love to call us as individuals. Think of how incredible that is. That's like finding the pearl of great price. And you know that parable. And it is truly great. I'm going to now go over John, the 14th chapter, because there's... here in John, there's a couple of verses I want to read. John 14, we'll go to verse 27. And here's what Christ said. Now, Christ was speaking. You know, we read, what do? In the Church of God. And we've done this for years, especially in Christian Biblical, I know. I don't remember doing it in Worldwide, but we read the words that Christ had on the night before he died. That was a very, very intense night for him. And it was intense for the disciples, because even though they did not fully understand as he told them, the power of the Holy Spirit was undoubtedly working at such a depth that they were greatly moved. And so he is preparing them for after he would go back to the Father, because he wanted his church to begin, and he wanted it to go forward. And he knew That's why he spent 3.5 years with these men, the apostles that he chose, because he knew that they had to do great miracles and go on, that the church could start and it could go forward. And the gates of hell would never prevent it from going on. Anyway, here in verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world. No. Because what is the world's peace? It's temporary at best. And generally, it's not real peace. It's got all kinds of little conditions and deceptions involved. But Christ says, my peace I will leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it fear." And again, that gets right back. If our relationship with God is such that we trust him implicitly, we do not have to fear. And if you don't fear, what do you have? You have peace. I go out of my door in Sacramento every day, and what do I see? I see people going around in fear. Not all of them, thankfully. It's getting a little better than it was. But I see this one neighbor that they do not come out of their house until they have those masks on and they only come out to walk their dog twice a day. They're in fear. And that is exactly what the evil ones in charge want. But we don't have to be in fear. God has given us peace. Chapter 16, in verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you." And this again, he's talking to the disciples before he had to suffer. "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Isn't that what he tells us? Look at what James says. Look what Paul said. We can expect it, and God wants it. And why? He wants it to make sure of our heart. Whether or not we have the same kind of courageous heart as that woman in Poland who wasn't called by God, but she had a courageous heart. And she was willing, like we said we were willing when we were baptized, even if we didn't realize it. But we realize it now. But she had that kind of heart. Now, what did that show? That shows even in human nature, there is a place to have a right heart for the people that make that decision. And you can look down through history and see people that have done similar things because they decided to do the better thing and to have love for their fellow man and compassion. And that's definitely what started her on her mission, the compassion for others. And in Philippians, Paul, he says here in verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Nothing. Well, that's quite a chore, isn't it? We can get anxious about all kinds of things. I mean, mundane things. And in Matthew 6, Christ goes over this. And he goes through a number of different examples there. What we shouldn't be anxious about. Why? Because God can provide for us. Well, right here, Paul, he's talking about more than whether or not we'll have enough food to eat. He says anything. "But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now you see, that is the trusting of God. And the trusting of God, you have what? You have peace. So we are not to be anxious. And he says in verse 7, and the peace of God, not some false peace, not some hollow peace with deception lying within. No, it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we are beginning, we're beginning to understand that. We're beginning to understand. And that's why we have to be so faithful, because God will be with us, and we can understand at the depth and at the level that it's going to take to be counted worthy by God. So if we have the courageous heart to trust Him implicitly, we too can have great peace even now. And we can have peace and joy forever in the kingdom of God and in our case as a first fruit with Christ forever and ever in His government. Isn't it worth it?